The Talk of the Northwest, The Greg Hughes Show on Highland Radio.
Hello and a very good morning. You're very welcome along to another edition of The Greg Hughes Show for this Tuesday, the 28th of July. It's 4 minutes past nine. How are you all keeping? I hope you're well. A big thank you once again to everyone at Cants Care West Donegal in Letterkenny. We were treated like royalty down there and we had a fantastic time. Love going down there. We'll definitely have to head down again. And just by the way, just to remind you, in case you didn't listen to the programme, Cancer Care West provides lots of support for people and their partner where necessary on diagnosis of cancer, during cancer treatment, perhaps after cancer treatment. They've got loads of things going on there, free Pilates classes, what do you call that when you run between different things, all that kind of stuff, and other services that you might need at that time. But most of all, it's just a friendly space to chat and maybe get a have a chat maybe about how you can work things through in your mind to deal with what you're going through, all of that type of stuff. We spoke to different people who've received cancer diagnosis at different stages of their lives, men and women, younger and older. And just in case you didn't listen, it's there for you as a podcast on our website, highlandradio.com, just in the listen back section. And maybe there's someone in your life that might benefit from listening. Maybe they're sort of trying to deal with everything themselves, and maybe that suits them. But maybe if they listen to that program, there'll be something in it for them that might make them say, right, okay, I might try that. That might be good for me. But anyway, that podcast is available for you there and you can watch it back as well. And you can watch this show today. Lots coming up on the program today. Community Garda information. We've brought that forward into the first hour. Garda Grainne Doherty will be with me in the not too distant future, running through the very latest appeals and information from Garda Síochána Síochána. The Defence Minister, Minister Helen McEntee, is in the county. She's in Finnair Camp. She's going to join us, all being well, a little later on, just for a chat. So we'll put some questions to her. And then the second hour, as is tradition now, we have the 16 or 17 ladies who are taking part in the Mary from Dunloe International Festival, all seeking to be crowned on Sunday evening by Mr. Daniel O'Donnell. Well, they'll be in studio with us and it's going to be quick fire chats because there's quite a lot of them. And we just have that hour less the business side of things like the news and ad breaks and stuff. So it's all visual. You can watch it all on your mobile phone. You can watch it on Facebook, YouTube. That's the whole show, by the way. But also YouTube is good for your Fire Stick and your smart TV as well, too. Right, what else did I want to mention? The phone lines, they're open for you right now. If there's anything you want us to talk about, any comments you want to make throughout the course of the show, maybe play a request. We do that after 10. 086 60 25000 is the WhatsApp and text number. 086 60 25000, or you can call 074 91 25000. Irish Daily Mail reporting on what we kind of know, I think. We're creating a lot of wind energy and we've put a lot of turbines up, but we don't necessarily have the infrastructure to actually deal with the power. And we certainly don't have it to deal with the power when it's being generated to store it for when we need it, right? So it's kind of an industry that's quite intrusive, but is not really contributing as much as it could. So Ireland, this is the Irish Daily Mail, I think I mentioned. Ireland is losing enough wind energy to power every household in Dublin, Westmeath and Wicklow because the electricity grid is not strong enough to carry it, new research shows. The grid is struggling to keep pace with the country's renewable energy growth, meaning that 15% of Ireland's most affordable electricity is being wasted. 15%. Wind Energy Ireland said this was a missed opportunity to reduce the country's reliance on imported fossil fuels and lower electricity costs for Irish consumers and businesses. The analysis from Wind Energy Ireland, based on AirGrid figures, found enough wind energy to power 667,000 homes was lost in the first half of this year. Despite these grid challenges, Irish wind farms set a new record last month with generation up nearly 5% compared to the previous years. Awful situations with wildfires in France and Spain, but particularly France. And there are some major population areas like Bordeaux, for an example, that are under severe threat. They can't get a handle of these fires. And the French authorities have described the situation as the most difficult since World War II. and they've never seen anything like this in the past. And they're facing into now, from a little later this week, another heat wave. Firefighters in France and Spain were racing against the clock to get control of ferocious wildfires that have burned through vast areas of Mediterranean countries as another heat wave closes in. French President Emmanuel Macron warned that conditions would get tougher as he visited a firefighting operations centre in the hard-hit region of Gironde, where the blaze has caused uncontrollable firestorms. The problem they have is they're reliant on two things: wind direction and rain. They have no rain, and they're hoping that the wind will benefit them because they cannot get control of this fire or these fires. Macron said, "We're facing a situation today that is the most difficult we've seen, the most difficult since the Second World War," he told emergency responders. More than 250,000 people have been evacuated in France. But as I say, there's around 800,000 people in Bordeaux. The fire, when I was listening to the news last night, 9 miles from Bordeaux and heading in that direction. What vexes us most in terms of our financial worries? Well, it's household costs. It's the basics, really. You know, it's just literally keeping the roof above our heads and keeping the heating on when necessary. The good weather has not brought any economic sunshine for consumers, the Irish Independent reports. Renewed inflation fears have meant that cost of living pressures are the number one concern for households, according to the July Credit Union Consumer Sentiment Tracker. A special question asked as part of the survey revealed that cost of living concerns dwarf all other issues for Irish consumers. 42% of respondents and said households' costs were the most pressing issues facing the economy. This was followed by housing at 15% and the impact of global conflicts on the economy at 7%. Economist Austin Hughes, who oversees the work of the index, said the worries about costs were broadly based. Well, you see, a lot of costs are not optional, but you can make choices. You know, trying to live comfortably, trying to have a roof over your head, these are essentials, and there ain't much wiggle room in that regard. Someone sent in a question there the other day about changes to the rules on cabins and what have you, and they're coming into effect now, by the way. We had talked about them quite extensively and flagged them, but the Star reports that the rules for building modular homes and cabins on private properties have been relaxed under new government regulations, with homeowners now free to build little properties in their gardens, no planning permission required. It also means homeowners will be able to rent them out to make some tax-free cash under the new rules. People renting out their garden cabins can earn up to €14,000 in rental income, similar to the current rent-a-room scheme. It's kind of interesting because if you, say, for instance, someone happened to have a second property or they inherited it and they're trying to meet the costs of maintaining it, if you rent it and if you were paying the highest rate of tax, if you were renting it, you would be paying pretty much half your rent in tax. But you can build a cabin without planning permission in your back room, rent that out and earn $14,000 a year tax free. It's a bit of a skewed system, you would feel, wouldn't you? Well, from today, people can build small modular units between 32 square metres and 45 square metres on their property without planning permission, which I don't think is too small. Housing Minister James Brown has said modular homes will serve as a practical option now for many people with different needs without the rigmarole of going through extensive planning. So we can expect to see plenty of little garden properties coming up for rent across the country. So what do you think? Would you be inclined to do that? Would you be inclined to say, right, you know what, we can spend whatever it might be, stick a one-bedroomed cabin in there and rent it out? I'm not sure if you can do the Airbnb tax-free. I think it's more long-term rent. Or are you looking at it and going, right, you know, my 28-year-old's still in the house, or my 32-year-old's still in the house, or 24-year-old, or whatever the age might be, would you consider maybe getting one of these cabins or setting them up with a cabin and get them out of the house into their own space, but albeit on your own property? Like, do you see yourself availing of it? If so, how? Let me know. 08660 25000. We're drinking less and less and less. Boozing by Irish adults fell once again last year. The average amount of pure alcohol consumed fell by 2% to 9.2 litres, a report says. It marks a drop of more than a third since consumption peaked 25 years ago. What were we doing 25 years ago? Beer was the country's most popular alcohol last year with a 42% market share. Wine remained the second most popular drink with nearly a third of the market share. The figures come from a report by the Drinks Industry Group of Ireland. So we still drink quite a bit, 9.2 litres. I'm not sure how over what period of time that is, but we're drinking less and less. Is it because of the cost, or are we getting more sort of conscious about health and what have you? Or maybe that is an average. More younger people aren't drinking, but older people are drinking more. I don't know. But I wonder, are we cutting back because of the health message? You know, cancer, heart disease, that type of stuff, the problems it can cause, in your life, relationships, or is it the cost of it? I wonder what's going on. 1.1 million of us watched the All-Ireland final on Sunday. What were the rest of yous doing? What a game it was. An average of 944,000 viewers, representing an 82% share of the available audience, tuned in to watch Mayo's historic win after a 75-year wait to lift the Sam Maguire Cup. And we watch TV in many different ways. Less and less of us are watching scheduled TV. I mean, outside of sports and the soaps, I think generationally anyway, there might be older generation, and perhaps you can include me in that, although I don't watch scheduled TV much, that might stick The Chase on or might stick something else on or whatever it might be. But my children will never watch scheduled TV outside of sport. And even now they're watching short form videos of it. And you just wonder where the TV viewers of the future are going to be. I would say within 10 years, I think within 10 years, you won't have broadcast TV like we have it now, because no one will be watching it other than the news, and people are losing interest in that. Soap operas, I mean, they are dying a death. I know they still have a loyal following, but in terms of gross numbers and sport and events, you know, outside of that, you know, the rest is just twaddle, really. So I don't think we're going to be watching telly like we'll watch it now, certainly 5-10 years' time. And I think anyone born within the last 25 years is not watching much scheduled TV at all anyway. But so what am I saying? That makes those figures even more impressive, that they had almost a million on average watching all of the time for that famous victory from County Mayo. Indeed, it was excellent, wasn't it? We talked about it a little yesterday here in the commentary, and it was great to get a chat to Jerry Glennon, who's he co-presents or presents the mid-morning show with Paul Claffey down at Midwest Radio, and they've been up to Hydo, and I'm sure that's continuing into this week. Joe, good morning to you.
Good morning, Greg.
How are you getting on? You just took it upon yourself to say, right, you know what? It's going to be a good night in Mayo. Or did you? You travelled down there.
Not that quick, Greg. We were watching the match here in Letterkenny on Sunday. My dad actually was a Mayo man. My late dad, he was born down in Westport. So also, we have a few neighbours here. I'm living up in the state called Willowbrook. And then we have beside us the Elms. So there's a few Mayo people living here. So about an hour after the match, I texted a few of them, and we decided to go down. And we went down yesterday afternoon and came back then late last night.
Fair play. So, yeah, that's the way to do it.
A brilliant, brilliant, brilliant atmosphere down there. And what I just wanted to say was the organisation was absolutely fantastic. The Mayo County Board, the stewards, the Gardaí, they really deserve such credit. Now, there's different estimates about the crowd that were in McHale Park yesterday, but I saw TV3 this morning mention 35,000. RTE last night were going 60,000. So I probably the truth lies somewhere in between, but whatever the number, it was just so well organised and really such an enjoyable event. And oh my God, it was unbelievable when the team arrived, like in McHale Park, and Sam Maguire back. It was just incredible, you know.
Yeah, it's not exclusive to Mayo, but what I thought was lovely to watch was the sort of cross-generational element to it. You know, you had, it seems like, swathes of younger people from Mayo in there, obviously enjoying this themselves, but also those people that have endured the 11 finals or thought they never would see a Mayo win in their lifetime. So it was a truly cross-generational event, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. Well, not just in Crow Park, but yesterday evening as well, obviously in McHale Park. We had, I'd say, from a couple of months to probably 90 plus or maybe even older. But yeah, just a fantastic occasion. And I just thought yesterday evening, you know, particularly of all the former players, like down the years who came so close and yet didn't, you know, get in All Ireland, and all the different managers from Mayo, the supporters as well. Like, I mean, you know, my dad would be a great Mayo supporter, and like his brothers and sisters, even most of them would have lived abroad. And I think that's what it really meant, was for the Mayo diaspora, the Mayo people living all across the world, like whether they were there on Sunday or not there, it meant so much to them, you know.
Brilliant.
So, yeah. I just thought the idea as well, Greg, and it's something maybe our county board might just have a look at, is when we win the Sam Maguire next, it might be just an idea to think about having a homecoming, not in the centre of some town or whatever, but, you know, in the Cool Park in Ballybuffet. It is the stadium, like the county stadium for Donegal. And I just thought it was brilliant. Now, I know McHale Park is much bigger than McCool Park, but I just think it's brilliant to have as many people as possible in the place. And I think McCool Park might be an ideal spot.
It's normally Donegal Town, as you mentioned, and then they moved it out the back, but I think that was for Ulster. But yeah, there's a strong argument there. It's just traditionally been there. I'm not sure if it's because it's been linked with sponsors or what have you, but anyway, it is what it is. Joe, finally, are you normally as spontaneous?
Not normally, but this was a special occasion. I wouldn't sort of just up and go like that. But as I said, there was a few neighbours as well. Like, we had a great old banter on the way down yesterday. Now, unfortunately, the weather on the way back last night wasn't great, but it was actually great going down. And then we stopped off for a bite to eat before we went into McHale Park. So all in all, it was a great afternoon, great evening.
Well done.
And, you know, there's a lot of Mayo people up here in Donegal. So just to them as well, I'm sure. I know quite a number of them were in Croker on Sunday. So I'm sure they're still celebrating, and I'm sure some of them were down. Actually, that was the one thing we noticed last night. Now, maybe some Donegal people are down there on holidays, but there was quite a number of Donegal cars, you know, out at the hotel where we were. And then later on, you know, around.
Maybe
Kastabar,
people were like-minded like you. A lot of guards switch between Mayo and Mayo, Galway and Donegal, traditionally, whether it's still the case.
My neighbour here told me when he came up to Donegal about 25, 30 years ago, he said he went into a certain pub in Letterkenny, which I won't name, Greg, but a fella came over to him and asked him, you know, where he was from, and just made a bit chit-chat. And when my neighbour said he was from Mayo, he said, well, there's one of two things. You either have to be a guard or a priest. So I don't know, is that what Mayo men or Mayo people are noted for? But anyway, okay. he was neither. So that's it.
Okay, listen, Joe, thanks for that. Brilliant stuff. Lovely. What's the most spontaneous thing you've ever done?
The Community Garda information slot is brought to you by Sheridan Security Systems, monitoring homes and businesses in the Northwest for intruder, fire, panic and medical signals. Call Sheridan Security on 91-26025.
Okay, a little earlier than normal on a Tuesday, which is the 28th of July 2026. It's time for Community Garda information, and we have in studio with us Garda Grainne Doherty. Good morning, Grainne. Thank you.
Good morning, Greg.
Lovely to have you in. Right, so let's get straight into it, and we'll start with appeals. And your colleagues investigating burglaries and theft of a car in Donegal Town.
Yes, Gardaí are appealing for the assistance of the public in connection with a number of incidents that occurred in the area of Donegal Town on Friday, the 24th of July. So at approximately 8 a.m. that morning, a burglary occurred at a house in the area of Ardeskin in Donegal Town. A vehicle, a blue Audi A4, was also stolen from that property, but it was located at around 9 a.m. that morning in the area of Spearstown that was on fire. A second burglary also occurred on that same date, July 24th, at O'Dignan Avenue, Donegal Town, at around 8:30 a.m. So as part of our investigation into these incidents, we're appealing for dash cam footage from anybody who might have travelled in any of those areas that morning around those times. If anybody travelled within any area of Donegal Town that morning between 7 a.m. and 10 a.m. with a dash cam, we're asking them also to contact Gardaí and Ballyshannon on 071 985 8530. And if anybody observed any type of suspicious activity, people or vehicles in any of those areas mentioned that morning, we're asking them to contact us also. And the Garda confidential line can be reached on 1800 666 111.
Yeah, and there was a community alert meeting in Donegal Town last night, and hopefully there was a big attendance there because they're looking to get together an organisation that can be the eyes and the ears of the community as well. We'll move on now to a dangerous driving incident in Letterkenny.
Yes, this incident occurred at the Dry Arch roundabout in Letterkenny on Saturday the 25th of July between approximately 8:50 p.m. and 8:55 p.m. A dark-coloured Vauxhall Omega performed a number of extremely dangerous manoeuvres on the Dry Arch roundabout before taking off in the area, in the direction, sorry, of Lurgy Breck. The roads policing unit were actually there conducting a traffic stop in the area at the time of the incident. We're appealing to anybody who might have been in that area or on the N13, the Letterkenny to Stranorda Road with a dash cam between 8:45 p.m. and 9:15 p.m. to contact us and make that footage available to us. If anybody was waiting maybe in traffic in on the area of the roundabout, I believe there was quite a bit of traffic there at the time. If anybody was there and they observed this vehicle, they took note of the registration number. If they've dash cam footage, contact us please. And any relevant information should be passed on to Gardaí and Letterkenny on 91 67 100.
Okay, criminal damage being investigated in Port New.
Yes, this incident occurred outside a licensed premises in Yarn, Port New, on Sunday the 26th of July between approximately 4 p.m. and 4:30 p.m. So a parked car at that location was damaged. So damage was caused to the paintwork on the boot between those times, and it's possible it may have been keyed. So CCTV is being checked. But we're appealing to anybody who might have been in the area and have any relevant information to contact Gardaí and Ballyshannon on 071 985 8530.
Now to Letterkenny and investigations ongoing into an assault or assaults in the town park.
A couple of assaults, yeah. So Gardaí are investigating a couple of alleged assault incidents. These occurred in the Bernard McGlinchey Town Park in Letterkenny on Saturday the 25th of July in around 5 p.m. So an incident involving a group of male youths occurred over in the wooded area near the skater park over at the far end of the park. And two youths sustained non-life-threatening injuries as a result. So we're appealing to anybody who might have been in that area, particularly the wooded area at the end of the park where the skater area is. If they witnessed this incident, we're asking them to contact Gardaí and Letterkenny on 91 67 100. If anybody has mobile phone footage from around that area, around that time, we're also asking them to make it available to us.
Yeah, and of course, you know, we want people to be able to feel safe and able to use public spaces. So the sooner those people are spoken to, if I could put it to you like that, the better.
Yeah, and of course, and the party in the park was actually on in the park that day, now down at the far end of the park. So there was a massive crowd in the park that day. So hopefully somebody may have seen something.
Yeah,
you know, that's
for sure. Right, it's always good to get updates on operations when it's operationally allowed, you're allowed to do so. So in relation to recent drug seizures, some positive news.
Yes, so as part of the ongoing investigation into the sale and supply of drugs in Donegal, Gardaí seized approximately €11,700 worth of controlled drugs following a search operation on the 23rd of July. These searches were carried out by Donegal Divisional Drugs Unit, supported by the Armed Support Unit, the Dog Unit and various Garda members from across Donegal. So these searches were carried out at premises across Letterkenny, St Johnson, Ballybuffet and Castlefin. So during the course of these searches, cannabis with an estimated value of €1,000 and cocaine with an estimated value of €10,700 was seized. And all these drugs that were seized will be sent for further forensic analysis, or investigations are ongoing. We're continuing to appeal to anybody who has any information in relation to the sale and supply of controlled drugs in Donegal or along the border region to contact the Donegal Divisional Drugs Unit on 91 67 100, the Garda Confidential Line on 1800 666 111 or any Garda station. You know, if there's a Garda member maybe that you're familiar with that you know and you feel comfortable talking to them, tell them, give them the information.
Okay, now I'll be completely honest with you, and it's probably because where I live, but also primarily, I don't really use cash much. So I could not tell you what a a UK, British, Northern Irish £5, £10, £20 note looks like. I simply don't know. But I don't work in retail or I'm not customer facing, so maybe that's not a surprise. But people need to familiarise themselves with these notes, don't they? Because some counterfeit Bank of England notes have turned up.
They have, and it was actually this time last year that the exact same type of notes turned up, I remember, in Letterkenny and the Buncrana areas, yeah. So these counterfeit Bank of England £20 sterling notes, they have been in circulation in Letterkenny over the past week. So we're just asking people to always check all banknotes thoroughly at all points of payment. And in relation to the type of note that was that we came across this week, check the area where the foil patch, there's an area up in the top left-hand corner of the note, and there's a 3D image of the coronation crown there. That patch should peel off. Just try and peel it to see does it come off. On these fraudulent types of notes, there's a little foil area up in the top left-hand corner. It's fairly easy to peel off. Once you go at it with your nail there, it should peel off easily. And there's wording underneath, prop money or for props only. And that's printed underneath that patch.
Now, it sounds like they've developed a sticker to obscure that then.
Exactly, yeah, and it's fairly easy to pull off. So just even by doing that on the notes, just check that. And they do look they look like excellent copies. You know, at first glance, they look like the real deal. So just take a closer look and be vigilant. And we're asking shop and business owners to advise their staff, particularly summer staff that are in just in relation to these types of notes, so they're not caught out. I think often too, maybe people at points of payment, they're self-conscious. They don't want to be seen to be checking notes in front of the customer. I suppose it's kind of awkward for them. It looks like they're doubting the customer.
Well, some customers look at them as if they've been accused of a bank robbery, really. But I mean, we should understand that they have to do these checks and balances. They're not accusing anyone of anything.
Yeah, well, even if the shop owner or business owner puts up a sign at their points of payment to say all notes will be checked, you know, as a matter of, it's a procedural, that we're going to be doing that, it might take the awkwardness out of it then, you know.
Yeah. At the weekend, and unfortunately it seems to be every weekend, you know, on Garda Síochána, they will issue press releases out in relation to road traffic collisions and other matters. And you know, I wake up in the mornings and the first thought is I hope there's no press releases from On Garda Síochána. And I woke up Sunday morning, I think it was, opened the phone and there was a fatal road traffic collision, then another one. There might have been three in that day. And you don't normally get that during the week, though obviously the roads can be dangerous at any time of the week. The point really I'm saying is that the reason we do pre-bank holiday weekend road safety messages is because that's what happens at the weekend. Unfortunately, you can get this flood of, and I'm talking about emails, but they're not emails, they're just press notifications of a devastating loss of life and devastation being wreaked on families. So really, that's why we do this. That's why Granny's going to try and appeal to all of our better judgments to understand that this weekend we're far more likely to see serious road traffic collisions, fatal road traffic collisions, and that's why we do this thing. And as I say, my Sunday morning impact was press releases, but can you imagine if the impact was a knock on your door? You just wouldn't want it. And as I say, it might sound repetitive, but that is exactly why we do it, to try and reduce that or eliminate that. So with that in mind, we are heading into, you know, one of the busiest weekends of the year, Grania.
We are. And as you say, a press release is always issued when there's a loss of life following a road traffic collision. But that, you know, there's so many other road traffic collisions occurring where there's serious, very serious injuries, life-altering injuries that we're not hearing about. Yeah. And they're occurring too. So we are, look, we're approaching one of the busiest bank holidays of the year. So last hurrah, I suppose, really, before back to school and before summer ends, you know, the roads will be exceptionally busy. We want to make our usual appeal to all road users to please just behave responsibly. We're asking all drivers to slow down, wear your seatbelt, ensure your passengers are wearing their seatbelt too. Don't be afraid to tell them to put their seatbelt on. Keep your phone as a driver, keep your phone well out of reach so it's not there, you're not tempted by it, and just keep your attention on the road at all times. As always, we're urging drivers to never drive while under the influence of alcohol or drugs. If you're going out socialising, which many people will be, I suspect, this weekend, please arrange a lift home, get a taxi or have a designated driver with you. Don't ever get into a car with anybody if you think that they may have consumed drugs or alcohol.
I mean, just in relation to that, say you're going out into Donegal Town and the pub's empty at 2:30. If you've not arranged in a taxi or a lift, you are going to be standing about the place. Mm-hmm. And you could be tempted to make a very bad decision. If you're in Downing's or Carrickards, or you know, the chances of getting a taxi at that time are going to be slim. So if you're heading out, you really need to make arrangements.
You need to make arrangements.
So that in that moment of time, you don't make a silly decision. A decision that could ruin the rest of your life and your life. Do you know what I mean? That's the practical element of socialising. If you're in Letterkenny, maybe you can walk home or something, right? Mm-hmm. But as I say, you know, in some of these areas where there's not a great taxi service at certain times of night, or they're somewhat far flung, you know, you go past some pubs and the next morning the car park's empty.
Yeah, people do.
And you say to yourself, well, and I'm not being holier than thou, please don't get me wrong, but you say, everyone in there wasn't drinking 00, right?
Yeah.
Or did everyone have a designated driver? I don't know. So the point is you do have to be even planning now to say, well, how am I going to get home on Sunday night or Saturday night?
Yeah, arrange in advance. Or look, even if there's a Garda station with a Mauchline, just come to the station. Tell them that you've no lift, that you need help to get a lift. They'll try and get a taxi for you. You know, anything except do not get behind that weave if you've consumed drugs or alcohol. You know, that's a massive, massive risk. Never mind the risk of losing your licence. You're risking everybody else's life.
Yeah,
you're risking your own life also.
Yeah.
So, Gardaí, there will be a massive roads policing operation in place this weekend, and Gardaí will be out in the roads. Expect to see them out. They're going to be conducting high visibility checkpoints. You may not see them, but they will be there doing the speed checks. You may not see them in the lay-by, but they will be there doing those also. So we're just asking people, don't risk losing your licence by taking unnecessary risks, and don't risk losing your life or having somebody else lose their life over your actions also. We're asking everybody, please be safe this weekend, but enjoy yourselves.
All right, okay. Now, some questions or a question. Can you ask Garda Grania, what is the procedure if a person has breached and or continually breaches a court order access agreement? And what training do Gardaí get in parental alienation awareness training, as breaching court orders seems to be the norm and is treated without any consequences? Now, this parental alienation terminology, I presume it's weaponising the child or withholding the child. I'm not sure using that phraseology actually gets the message across, but I understand its meaning. But that's really, I think, what the listener's talking about there.
Yeah, so court-ordered access to children, that's dealt with through the Family Law Court, and that's a civil matter. You know, Gardaí deal with criminal matters, not civil matters. And in Garda Síochána, they generally don't get involved in civil family law disputes, such as custody or access disagreements. But Gardaí do intervene, you know, if there's a criminal offence there, such as the breach of a safety protection or a barren order, if there's a child abduction or a suspected child abduction offence, or an immediate risk of risk to child welfare. But if anybody, you know, if anybody is having bother with child access arrangements, the best thing really that they can do is to go back to the family, go back to their solicitor, bring it to the attention again of the Family Law Court. You know, it's not a Garda matter.
It's a civil matter, not criminal. So really, going purely on the basis of that question, there is no role for Garda Síochána as such. I mean, it's not to say that they might not attend or what have you, but in terms of the structure of that arrangement and its enforcement, it is purely a civil matter.
Yeah, and I think sometimes maybe if people contact Gardaí in relation to that, the frustration's there, like, why aren't the guards acting? Why aren't they doing something? And we can only act within the law, what we're allowed to do. You know, we can't intervene. If it's a civil matter, it has to be dealt with by a civil, you know, a family law court. Or,
yeah, of course. You know. And to elevate that then, presumably the court then imposes the further sanction, and it might come to a point where it becomes a Garda matter, but certainly in the way this question is structured, it's a civil matter.
It is, and of course the person is also advised maybe to keep a record, you know, keep a record of these breaches of the access arrangements, keep a record themselves, and because that will be needed when they go back to the Family Law Court.
Okay, brilliant stuff. Are you on duty for the weekend?
Like this weekend coming?
Yeah.
That's very far away yet.
Well, I was told when you were advertising for members, a lady sat there and says, I can tell you what shifts I'm working in 2032.
Well, I can if I look up before. Yeah, no, I'm actually I'm fortunate this week. I'm off for a few days.
Good.
This week.
Well,
so, yeah,
enjoy.
I'm
you
off,
deserve
I'm
it.
Off most of the weekend. Yeah.
Excellent. Well done. Thank you so much, Grania, as
Thank
always.
You,
that was Garda Grania Doherty from Letterkenny Garda Station. If you want to listen back to any of that, by the way, it's on the podcast from about 11:30 at highlandradio.com, and you're fit to watch it too. On our socials and on Garda Síochána Facebook page a little later on today. We welcome on to the programme now the Minister for Defence, Foreign Affairs and Trade, Minister Helen McEntee. Good morning to you, Minister. Thank you so much for your time today.
Good morning, Greg. Hi.
Good to have you on the programme. Now, you're visiting Finnair Camp and members of the 28th Infantry Battalion today. What is the function of the visit and what will you be doing?
Well, look, I'm just on my way up, so delighted to be meeting with the battalion this morning. And really, I mean, first and foremost, this is an opportunity for me as Minister for Defence to thank those who are serving. There's over 400 personnel that are serving in Fenner Camp, to thank them for their commitment to our state and for the decision that they've taken to become members of the Defence Forces. We also have 35 recruits who are there, so they're obviously starting their journey, and really pleased to have a chance to meet with them this morning. Also there to see the investment that's going into Fenner Camp. So you have €2.5 million that's currently been spent, and this is to upgrade in particular the gym facility, the equipment, you know, what is really important for our troops when they're training, when they're working. And also then in the next couple of months, there will be a tender going out again to upgrade some of the dining facilities. So at a time when we are, and I am really focused on growing the numbers of men and women that we have in Ogleagh na hÉireann, in expanding our capabilities, it's really important that we're investing in, you know, our bases. We're investing in the living quarters, the training quarters for the members of our Defence Forces. So there's a lot happening, and really, as I said, it's an opportunity for me to meet with, to hear firsthand from our members, but also to see the investment that's going into Fenner, and hopefully there'll be more as well in the coming months.
Yeah, and it's investment in the infrastructure, but the people as well. What measures are we taking as a country, or you as the Minister, to ensure the soldiers stationed at Fenner and elsewhere see improvements, you know, in their paying conditions? You talked of perhaps, you know, improvements in working conditions, i.e. the infrastructure, but also staffing levels generally across the army.
Well, look, I mean, firstly, the capital investment is significant. So while there's money being invested in Fenner this year and next year and beyond, this year alone, there's $70 million that's been invested across quite a number of different barracks. And that is making sure that when our newest recruits, but also those who are working in our barracks, are there, that their living quarters, their dining quarters, their training facilities are up to scratch. But also we have significant investment going into new capabilities. And that's one thing when I talk to our troops, it's really important that we have the most up-to-date technology, whether it's new radar equipment, whether it's counter-drone technology, whether it's, you know, new investment in our maritime security, which has really come to the fore as a feature and a need for us to invest in. It's really important that our troops have the most up-to-date technology. So there's significant amount of money been invested in that, and tomorrow actually at Cabinet I will have an update on the military radar programme to progress that even further. But as you say, there's work that needs to be done as well on quite literally investing in the men and women and their paying conditions. And over the last number of years, be it through the public sector pay agreements, where our Defence Forces are now represented through those unions that are around the table during the discussions. But also we've seen improvements over the years, be it in pay levels, be it in various different training supports, but also then the investment directly into their accommodation and the physical environment that they're in. But I'm very conscious, and you know, I meet with the representative organisations. I'll be meeting with them again towards the end of the summer, that there's always more that we can do. So my objective and ambition is that we continue to support them, that we continue to improve conditions, be it pay or otherwise, but also that we set ourselves ambitious targets. So this year, our target for our overall recruitment is 850. Within that, we have a cadet recruitment, but then more general recruitment. And, you know, when you look at the figures of people that actually want to join, there was about 16,500 people put their names forward to join the Defence Forces last year. So there's a lot of interest. There's a lot of people are really keen to join, to give back to their country.
But I suppose the challenge too is,
I had the pleasure of meeting some of those last week as well, you know.
I suppose the challenge there is retention, isn't it? Because, you know, I'm not suggesting it is, but we don't want the Army or the Navy to be sort of a training platform either. You know, I've spoken to many people who very keenly went into the Army or the Navy and found themselves then moving on really quite quickly as their qualifications and rank improved into the private sector. So it's not just recruiting, it's the retention of the raw numbers, but also the experience and the ranks.
Absolutely. And I mean, when we talk about it, when I talk about recruitment in equal measures, the focus is around retention. So how do you make sure that we maintain and retain the people that we have and that we've trained? And, you know, no matter where I go in the world, no matter how many of my colleagues at a European level I speak to, where our defence forces are situated, be it in peacekeeping missions, be it training missions, be it those who are in Brussels who are working with other countries, they always comment on, and it's always reflected, the level of training that we have. So we need to keep those who are only in, but also those who have significant experience. And thankfully, what we're starting to see now is a shift. So last year, we saw for the first time in quite a number of years, a lower level of people leaving and a higher level of retention. And I do believe that that is because of the significant investment that's going into our defence forces. There's, you know, I mentioned almost 70 million euro being invested in infrastructure this year. That is a fraction of the overall budget that has increased by about 55% in this current capital plan. And that is a direct investment in men and women of Ogaden Na Héireann. It's a direct investment in our old infrastructure that needs to be upgraded, but also the new capabilities. And I mentioned radar, whether it's counter-drone technology, whether it's new equipment that's needed to detect risks that are on our seabeds, you know, talking about maritime security, it's about protecting critical infrastructure, but also then making sure we're investing in overseas missions as well. So we need to look at it from the lens of how do we attract people in, but how do we retain people also? And, you know, look, we've increased the recruitment age. We've increased the age of which people can retire. So it means people can join later in life. So they're actually bringing a wealth of experience. There are people who have worked in other careers and they're now bringing that into the Defence Forces. But on the other side, people able to stay longer as well, which I think is a real benefit. So this morning really is, it's an opportunity for me to hear directly from the troops as well, what more can I be doing? Because I always want to know, what can I do to help? How can I do to improve things? Or what can I do to improve things? While at the same time thanking them for their service and the work that they do.
You're navigating increased European defence and security collaboration. This is a very tense time globally, as we're all aware. Many of our listeners here in the Northwest are fiercely proud of Ireland's peacekeeping history, as we've contributed so much, but also worry about a creeping militarisation or threats to what we would see as our traditional neutrality. How do you balance boosting our national defence capabilities but protecting what many hold dear, Ireland's non-aligned stance?
Well, look, what I would say to people is they're not mutually exclusive. And I mean, I have the same view. I think as a country, the fact that we are militarily neutral and the position that we take, be it through our peacekeeping missions, be it through our involvement in multilateral fora, whether it's the UN, whether it's how we advocate for peace, always first and foremost, that should not, you know, that should not contradict the fact that as a country, we need to make sure we can defend ourselves. As a country in a world where, you know, it has become increasingly complex, where the types of threats are not necessarily the ones that we would have thought of years ago. They are attacks on our, you know, our internet, our online system. There are attacks on our undersea cables. There are attacks in different ways. We need to make sure that we have the capability and the capacity to respond to those. And I think we need to do that in a way where we are working with other countries so we can remain a neutral country while at the same time sharing our knowledge and sharing our experience, work closely with other people, as we have done. You know, I know often we get into a debate about NATO. We are not a member of NATO. I don't suggest that we would become a member, but we have for many, many years been part of what are called partnerships for peace. So within NATO, you have programs that focus on cyber security, that focus on maritime security, that focus on training. And we are part of that. And because of that, we bring something to the table that we maybe don't speak about enough. And
just
we don't hold ourselves up enough in the way that we contribute.
Yeah, a lot of people sort of frame that whole conversation in around the ongoing conversation about the triple lock, and the arguments for or against are, you know, well rehearsed at this stage, you know, Russia and China having a veto and all that type of stuff. Would it not be, given the fact that the majority of people have concerns about the removal of the triple lock, would it not be best to sort of, you know, have a referendum on that? Let's have an open, proper debate and tease it out beyond the sort of default stances that are there now, because it feels like such a big deal. And it would be, would it not be democratic and welcome for an open, broad, countrywide conversation, and then the decision being ultimately with the people, given the fact that it's really such a quite a significant one? Would you be open to that in any way, shape, or form?
Well, look, the first thing I would say, and I think this is where it's important we have this discussion, not just here this morning, but as any legislation would pass through our parliament, that we discuss what it is that we're actually doing here. So in order to change the triple lock, we have to change legislation. So there isn't anything in our constitution that would need to be changed or that would suggest that this is already in our constitution. It's not. This is legislation that was introduced at a very different time, I would say, but also legislation is there for parliaments to change and to adapt as time goes on. And I mean, the triple lock essentially was there after we were a neutral country. And I would stress this, so we've been a neutral country. The triple lock was introduced many decades later. If it were to be changed or adjusted, as I hope it will, because at the moment it's actually meaning that our troops are coming home. So we had troops came home from an operation in the Mediterranean recently because the UN mandated mission did not continue. So while every other member of other defence forces stayed, we had to bring ours home because there wasn't a mandated mission. So this is about making sure that our troops can stay in the missions that they have been participating in for many years, contributing to those that have a wealth of experience that then bring it home, and making sure that that can continue. And I think we do need to have that debate, but we also need to make sure that it is our government is the one that is making the decision, as in the Irish government, the people who are represented by the Irish people or who represent the Irish people, as opposed to a government in China, a government in Russia, a government in the UK or even the US that are currently able to make a decision for it.
Okay,
so we will have an honest debate, we will have an open debate, and everybody will have an opportunity to contribute to it. And it's important that we have that very public discussion on what is, I know, an important issue for people.
Minister, thank you very much for taking the time to chat to us. I do appreciate it and enjoy your visit. That's Minister Helen McEntee there on her way to Finnecamp this morning to meet with members of the 28th Infantry Battalion and, of course, to tour that installation. We're going to take installation. It seems almost sacrilegious to speak over the great Daniel O'Donnell, but he'll be singing this song on Sunday night. But who will be the 2026... Sorry, Daniel. Who'll be the 2026? He's doing Tea Party at the moment. Maybe he's listening. He'll be doing he'll be crowning the 2026 Mary from Dunlow, because the Mary from Dunlow International Arts Festival is currently on and will continue to next Monday. And we're going to chat to some of the women who are taking part. Connacht Mary, Katie McClafferty, sponsored by Gracie's Bar Sligo. Thanks so much for calling up. How are you?
I'm good, thank you.
How's everything going?
Good so far. We've been very busy, but we're enjoying every minute. It's really good.
Fun but tiring.
Yeah, definitely.
Okay. And are you kind of also the de facto Mayo Mary?
Yes.
All right, well, so you're taking the All-Ireland glory. We don't have a specific Mayo Mary.
No. So I'm the Connacht Mary this year, so covering the five counties in Connacht, but I live in Mayo, so proudly representing Mayo as well this year.
Brilliant stuff. And you're well travelled, aren't you? And you would be if you were crowned the new Mary, because you are a top level Irish dancer.
Yeah. So for 5 years, I was a professional Irish dancer and I travelled all around the world with a show called Rhythm of the Dance. I absolutely loved it. It was the best time of my life and got to travel like to different countries all over the world. And it showed how far like the Irish heritage has spread, because there'd be so many people coming to watch an Irish dancing show in like the most random of places you can imagine. So it was great. I loved it.
You've got links everywhere. Yeah. Born and raised in Glasgow, down in Mayo now as well, but also those strong Donegal roots, which are always good to have, right?
Yeah, I love it. So all my grandparents come from Donegal, so I have such a strong connection to this part of the world and I love it.
Brilliant.
So proud
stuff.
Of it.
The Wild Atlantic Way, Mary, is Gracie Trimble, sponsored by the Arranmore Blue Ferry. You didn't have quite as far to travel. Lettermack Award here in County Donegal. Why did you decide to get involved, Gracie?
Well, I worked in a local bar in Letcher, and they had it advertised on Facebook that they were looking for the Wild Atlantic Way, Mary. And two of my locals, Huey and Connell, said to me, "Gracie, if you don't go in for that, I'm never speaking to you again." So I had no choice, really.
Emotional blackmail, effectively.
But I've loved every minute of it since I've been selected.
Yeah, and if there's any legal quandaries, if any of the mayors get themselves into bother,
I'll be there.
You can sort them out. Your dream is to be a barrister, right?
It is, yeah.
Okay, and are you? I know you enjoy singing and the arts and all that type of stuff. On Sunday night, are you going to be leaning on any of those skill sets?
On Sunday night, I'll be singing a wee song, So hopefully the voice holds up.
Well, that's up to you now, isn't
yeah.
it? Who's lost the voice? Is there anyone who's obviously lost the voice yet?
There's a few of the girls who were a wee bit hoarse, but we're throwing the water into us, so we'll be all
good
right.
Good stuff. Yeah. All right. Listen, thanks so much for calling in. That's the Connacht Mary, Katie McLafferty, and also the Wild Atlantic Mary, Wild Atlantic Way Mary, Gracie Trimble. Caroline? Hello, we discussed this extensively. We did pre-Mary's discussions. Come on, yeah, please.
Thank you very much.
Thanks so much, ladies. That is Gracie and Katie as well there. Thanks so much, Caroline. Maria Bonner is the Liverpool Mary. Hi, Maria.
Hello, Greg. Good morning. How are you? I'm good, thank you.
Good stuff. Molly Malones is backing you. You're from Fintown, but now living in Liverpool. What took you over there? Studies, work, both?
Yeah, so I've been living in Liverpool now for the past 5 years. I went over to study midwifery, and whenever I qualified 2 years ago now, I ended up staying in Liverpool and just working in the Liverpool Women's Hospital.
Mm, and do you enjoy that work? Clearly
yeah,
you do, right?
I absolutely
How
love
many
my
babies
job.
Have you birthed so far? Do you keep track?
So you have to deliver 40 before you qualify. That's an absolute right. Like that's a
so
requirement.
So it's like flying a plane.
However, okay. Since I've qualified, I think it's well over 200-300
really?
That I've delivered. Yeah,
wow, it's an amazing thing to be a part of. What made you decide to get involved in Mary from Dunloe?
So I am originally from Fintown and my dad, he is from Dunloe. I've been going to the Mary from Dunloe since as long as I can remember. I was involved in like the marching bands and the Sundays and the parades and also a bit of Irish dancing back in the day. But I haven't Irish danced or picked up the tin whistle in a while now. However, I will be doing it for my crown and peace on Sunday.
Brilliant stuff. It's always exciting that there's a little bit of jeopardy yeah. if you haven't done it for a while, right?
I know.
And already, really, you know, you're using your profile that you have at the moment for good, aren't you? Because,
yeah.
you know, it's not just this week or Sunday. You're already sort of using that, aren't you?
Yeah, 100%. Yeah. I'm using the Liverpool profile as well. I'm very grateful for my sponsors, Molly Malone's. And also, it's been great to, like, get the festival known in Liverpool. I've done a lot of work trying to get the festival known and act as an ambassador for the Mary from Dunloe Festival, so trying to make it a little bit more worldwide and world known in Liverpool.
Wow, fantastic. It's all part of it, isn't it? The Philadelphia Mary is Kylie Brogan, sponsored by the Donegal Association of Philadelphia. Welcome, Kylie. How long have you been over with us now?
I've been over since just last Thursday.
Mm-hmm. And what's the experience been like so far? Or is it a return visit?
It's a return visit. My dad, he was born in Donegal, just right outside the town. So we've been back like every other year.
Yeah. And you're also an Irish dancer as well.
Yes,
I mean, you
I
could
am.
Get quite the troupe going, couldn't
yeah,
you?
Yeah, there's a few of us
yeah,
here.
I would say so.
Yeah.
And even though you live in Philadelphia, there is a strong Irish community there engaging in the sports, the culture, the music. How important has that been to you growing up?
Oh, it's been my whole life. All of our family friends are from the Irish community. It's been great because my dad, you know, he's moved away from his family, but there's so many others that have also moved away from their family. So we've kind of made like a little community of family within ourselves. So it's just been amazing to have so much support from everyone.
Fashion merchandising, that's your qualification.
Yeah.
What does that mean?
So fashion merchandising is more of the look of it, you know, seeing the designs, setting up stores, the displays, stuff like that. So I work right now at Anthropology, so I'm helping out with the merchandising team, with the visual merchandising director of our store, you know, helping her with each month. We have a different setup, so just helping her every day with that.
Is that more challenging now with the transition, sort of the online space?
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely on social media and in store too, a little bit of both. So you get kind of both ends of it too.
Yeah, okay. Brilliant stuff. Well, listen, have a fantastic time. Letterboro, that's where your dad's from.
Yes.
That's where I used to live.
Oh, no way.
Yeah, it is, yeah.
I keep mentioning it and people are like, we don't know where that is.
I did, yeah. It's sort of at the back of Donegal Town,
oh,
right?
Okay, awesome. Yeah.
Okay, that's, yeah. There's a massive hill down into it, which was a nightmare
mm-hmm.
in the winter.
Yep.
Kylie. Maria, best of luck. Thank you so much for joining us. That's the Philadelphia Mary there and the Liverpool Mary. And I feel like I should have some sort of background music just to keep things going. But anyway, the Ulster Mary, sponsored by Dylan's Hotel, is Katie Sweeney. Hi, Katie.
Hello, hello.
How are you?
I'm doing very well indeed.
Very good. From County Down?
From County Down, Warm Point originally, and Restrepo now.
Where are you living now?
I'm living in Restrepo at the moment. Yeah. So I used to live in Belfast, but this year I've actually just moved home. So it's come in at a really great time in my life. I've really been able to rediscover the kind of areas and reconnect with my community. So Mary from Dunloe's done a lot for me already, so it has.
You're a lab tech.
I am technician. Indeed.
Okay, so, what do you do?
So I work in Examen Laboratories in Belfast. So I work in a male infertility specialist clinic. So we do kind of personalised testing. So we're able to kind of identify issues within DNA within males to see what might be causing infertility in couples. So it's an area that's usually a little bit more stigmatised, but we're trying to get a lot more people on board with it. It's a load of people that I know have been affected by it. So since I've been in it, I've been able to talk about these things as well. So really, really great.
Kind of interesting because men, and I don't know if it's because of their makeup, can be quite reluctant to maybe admit it could be them. Not admit, but to accept that it could be them. Okay,
yes,
that's interesting. And you'd call yourself a nerd.
I do indeed, sure. I was in the comic book club in my wee school as well.
Is that nerdy?
You know what? Back in the days, it would have been nerdy, but
I think it's cool now, isn't it?
Absolutely.
Nerd's the new cool.
Of course.
All right, and you've got strong connections to Dunloe as well, so it's a coming home of sorts.
Of course. So my dad is Peter Sweeney, and my granddad is Dodo Sweeney. So he would have been the doctor in Dunloe before. So a lot of people have been telling me about great stories between them and Dodo in the past, if it is. So I've always been coming up. We've been, have we holiday house, actually, just in Critch Island.
Oh, fantastic.
We've been in a festival regular since I was a wee one, so it's great to be back and on the other side of things as well, on the stage this
time. Very exciting.
So very nice.
No bother to you. Northeast England Mary, Molly Russell, sponsored by the Tyneside Irish Centre. You work at Newcastle United Football Club.
I do, yes.
Very good. What's your role there?
So I'm the systems processor, so I basically manage and look after the whole ticketing systems.
Oh, very good, to make sure everyone gets in and out and
indeed,
gets their tickets and all that type of stuff. So do you get a lot of messages looking for tickets?
All the time. And the answer is always the same. I'm sorry, I can't help.
It's
so in demand.
Okay. Yeah. And you also have spent 16 years Irish dancing as well. That's too very passionate part of your life, I take it.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, I did Irish dancing from the age of 3. Honestly, the friendships and the like social side of things has been just unbelievable. Obviously, then the competition side of things too. It's just, it gives you experiences that you don't get anywhere else.
What's your highlight been so far of this current experience? I know you're kind of at the beginning of it, but I also know, and I'm not sure if either of two, if you were involved, but there was a whole host of events going back over weeks and some fantastic stuff, not just for yourselves, but actually even the promotion of Donegal et al. What has your highlight been so far, Molly?
I think my highlight's definitely the pet and Sue yesterday. I am a big animal lover and I absolutely loved it yesterday.
What was your favourite thing to pet?
The emu and the goat was my absolute favourite. The goat was stood up on the little wire and up on the trough, so it was
on
so
my
funny.
Way to work, there's four goats out in the road every morning. I'm like, would you please get out of my way? And now you're going petting them.
I know, yeah.
What's your highlight, Katie?
Every year, my biggest thing that I'm looking forward to is the artisan food market. I'm a huge foodie.
Oh, wow, yeah, I'm
hungry. I used to work in Avoca. So seeing some of those local Irish brands in there and seeing how they grow each year as a business as well. I know last year, Donegal Sea Salt, it was their first time being there. Seeing them again this year and they have a huge stall. They have so much promotion. It's just so inspiring to see how much they're growing and seeing what the food scene is like. Developing like in Donegal as
yeah,
well.
Exactly.
Fabulous
yeah,
stuff too.
Exactly. And exciting things happening. Thank you, Ulster Mary, Katie Sweeney, Northeast of England Mary, Molly Russell. Don't call her for tickets. She doesn't have any. One of the jewels in the Donegal Crown and the regional crown as well is the Mary from Dunloe International Arts Festival. It is ongoing and there's something for everyone throughout the course of the week. And also too, by the way, don't forget that Daniel and Magella are hosting their Boil the Kettle event today as well. So there's lots and lots going on both inside the festival and around it. And it culminates on Sunday evening, though it runs on Monday. With the crowning that is Sunday, isn't it? The cabaret is, isn't
yes.
it? Okay, yeah. But there is some events then on Monday. Right, let's we have the honour every year of meeting the fantastic people that take part in the Mary from Dunloe International Festival, including the New York Mary, Nellie Fitzpatrick, sponsored by Mark Blank Photography. His prints aren't blank. Nellie, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
How have you enjoyed your time so far?
I always loved Donegal, so you're going to have to rip me away from the county when it's time for me to fly back to New York.
Yeah, and if you're not going on, you're in your last year at Harvard University as well. What are you studying?
I study neuroscience.
Okay, neuroscience.
And I'm working at a lab, the Duloc Lab. We study inflammation and social behavior in mice. So it's really important work studying autism and bipolar disorder. And even though the mice bite me every chance they get, I'm really proud to be working in the lab and making strides towards science.
Do you have one eye on Neuralink and what SpaceX and stuff is doing?
Well, there's always things happening at the speed of light in neuroscience and the field of science overall. And I try to specialize in stuff that's really focusing on the bettering of science for people like I know. Like, I study autism because my brother has autism and bipolar disorder, and I just want to make the best for the people that I know.
Keep grounded and do what you can do, the physical stuff. I get you. Your granny or grandmother was also Nellie, originally from Gwydor.
Yes.
But I want to talk a little bit about one of the trips you've been on, because there's been a whole host of trips that's been going on for ages. And you were down on a trip in Newbridge, is that right?
Yes, I'm wearing my Newbridge silver now, a lovely pearl.
Very nice. Excellent.
Sparkly silver set.
It's a collab.
Sorry?
Is it a collab or a collab?
Oh, I wish I would be so lucky to be sponsored by them. They're so beautiful.
Yeah.
And my grandmother, obviously, she's going to be eyeing my necklaces and my bracelets and things like that. She loves Newbridge silver.
Excellent stuff. It is beautiful. You can't beat silver. The London Mary is Eva O'Sullivan, sponsored by Cranel in Luton. A very talented musician, if you don't mind me saying so, Eva.
Oh, thank you.
What's the difference between a silver and a wooden flute?
So the silver flute is where I play my classical music, and the wooden flute is where I do my Irish traditional music.
Okay. Is there a hierarchy, right? Because I would have thought, like, a silver flute is like a king, and then like a tin whistle is like a foot soldier. Is that how you see it?
Well, no. I love them both, so to me they're both equal.
We were talking about the trips earlier on. You were down in beautiful Donegal town at the start of July, right? So what happens on one of those events? Because it sort of extends out the whole programme and spreads the love and the message around the place as well.
Yes, so I visited Donegal town at the beginning of July. We were warmly welcomed by the mayor of Donegal town, and we explored the history of Donegal town through visiting Donegal Castle. We had a lovely afternoon tea in the Abbey Hotel, went to McGee's, and I just loved Donegal town. Such a lovely atmosphere there. It was lovely to meet all the other girls, and everyone was just so kind and welcoming.
You're originally from, you're a regular visitor to Gortlehawk. How does it feel differently to be back and to be so involved in something so sort of culturally recognisable in this area?
Yeah, it's just lovely. It's lovely. Obviously, the festival's been going for 59 years now. It was something my granny always talked about, something my mum always talked about, and something I'm experiencing now, and I'm just loving every minute of it.
Oh, lovely stuff. Listen and continue your enjoyment of it. That's the London Mary, Eva O'Sullivan. Thank you very much. And also the New York Mary, Nellie Fitzpatrick. Nellie, it's a lovely name, Nellie Fitzpatrick. It feels
Thank
really
you.
Traditional.
It's borrowed.
Is it?
From my grandmother.
Well, shared.
Yes.
Okay, thanks so much, ladies. I really do appreciate it. Right, now we're going to be joined very shortly by our next guest. We'll start with the Glasgow Mary, Maria Neely, sponsored by McSorley's. Good morning to you.
Hi, Greg. How are you?
I'm doing fantastic. What about you?
I'm good, thank you.
Are you enjoying yourself?
Absolutely loving it. We are all having an absolute ball. I'm very proud to be sponsored by McSorley's, which is a family-run venue in Glasgow. So they host gigs. They have been absolutely amazing at backing me and giving me all the support I've needed.
Brilliant plugging as well. Yours is a very personal story as to why you might be involved in this competition.
Yes. So my cousin Eva was a Gaeltacht Mary 10 years ago this summer, funnily enough. And she went on to be crowned the 2016 Mary from Dunloe. So I grew up with the festival, no stranger to Dunloe. And we've always had our hearts in Dunloe. So I felt that it was time this summer to bring all my family back together after the loss of my grandmother, to bring us all back so that we could have a nice summer and on a more positive note.
Lovely, indeed. And remember people in a positive way. Maggie Tim is your grandmother,
Maggie
right?
Tim.
And she was a big fan of the festival.
She
too.
Was an
so it all
fan.
Ties in lovely for you as a family, right?
Yes, absolutely. She was the biggest Daniel O'Donnell fan. Anywhere Daniel O'Donnell was, Maggie Tim was there and was rooting for him. So I know she'd be absolutely delighted.
Brilliant stuff. Oh, it's fantastic. That's a lovely story. And it's one of those ones, and that's the way life is that it's bittersweet, isn't it? It's emotional,
yes.
But it's also wonderful to be able to honour your granny like you're doing so. The Midlands Mary, sponsored by Cavan Crystal Hotel, is Clodagh Doherty.
Doherty. Good morning, Greg.
Right.
How are you?
How are you getting on?
Good.
You're originally from Meath, right?
Yeah, coming from Athboy.
Athboy, right, get everywhere. And you are in logistics.
Yeah.
What is that?
It is transport management and the supply chain and the logistics that goes on. You'd have lorries and all that. So I'm working in Smith Vehicle Solutions as a logistics apprenticeship.
And there's a lot in that because we kind of operate in a next day situation. So if every lorry stopped today, stuff stops being in shops tomorrow effectively or the day after. So we shouldn't underestimate the power of the logistics keeping the wheels moving.
Yeah, exactly. You're always planning one step ahead.
Now, you're one ahead of me. I want to do this. You've got your rigid licence.
Yeah, I got my rigid licence 2 weeks before I turned 19 back in April.
What's the story with the Arctic? It's the obvious next step.
It will be next, yeah.
All right, okay.
Cannot wait.
What's the biggest fear there? Reversing is my issue.
I don't think there's any fear, really. I'll be well used to the steering wheel. I drive tractors for my father for his contracting company. So
yeah, but you're also active on his farm as well.
Yeah.
Okay, so what do you do when you finish work? Can you just go in and put the feet up and watch Love Island? Or
no, definitely not. I head out and I do a bit of relief milking for local farmers, so definitely kept busy the whole time.
And I'm not sure if your family are from Donegal, but certainly visited here. The Donegal International Rally, of course, very popular on the calendar.
Yeah, definitely. And regular visits with my granny each summer. She'd bring us down, so she would, to Ballybuffet to meet her friends. And we'd be brought along, so we would whether we liked it or not.
Just bapping away?
Yeah, all right. And we've created great memories.
Maria, what's your highlight been so far?
I think the highlight for me is definitely the little kids. And still, when they come up and ask for your picture, you're starstruck that they want a picture with you. You feel like saying, I'll take one of you, no bother at all. So it's definitely being one of the Marys.
And they used to use as celebs, like you.
Absolutely.
Might as well be Kate Middleton walking around the place.
And the fact that used to be me, I used to be chasing the Marys, so I can completely understand. It's just a full circle moment.
Yeah, okay.
Absolutely.
All right, lovely stuff. Listen, continuing to enjoy. That's the Glasgow Mary, Maria Neely, and also the Midlands Mary, Clodagh Doherty. Now, the Mary from Dunlow International Arts Festival is currently ongoing, and there's a whole host of events, big sort of family focus every year, but this year in particular. Go on to their website, their social media, and you will find something to do. Maybe it's that time of the year where the children are bored now and you've run out of things to do. Well, you've got this amazing event on your doorstep, or indeed, maybe if you can get a babysitter, there's a great night out any night this week for you. And there's always a fantastic buzz around the place. And we are speaking to the participants, contestants, I suppose, one of which will be crowned on Sunday night by the one and only Mr. Daniel O'Donnell. The Edinburgh Mary is Cara Malloy. Good morning to you.
Good morning. How are you?
Good. And yours is an interesting sponsorship because it's the Edinburgh Emerald Irish Social Group. So they see the benefit then, presumably, with a tie-in with such a phenomenal cultural festival and the work that they do.
Yes, indeed. They're a lovely bunch of people. Definitely. They're mostly all from Donegal. And they kind of, they're mostly around Gilmerton, but it goes to show you that they're so active, and we take a lot to do with them as the university's Irish society as well. So we've got such close links, and it's a home away from home whenever you're with them.
Yeah. Now, you're currently living in Scotland.
I am indeed.
Originally from Belfast, but fluent in Irish.
Yeah.
And that was a first for you. You're sitting beside the Gaeltacht Mary, so you could yap away if you so wish. But how proud were you to become fluent in the language and to set a first within your own sort of family group?
Well, Fianna and Rodil. So I started whenever I was in first year. I went to school in on the Falls Road in St Dominic's, and they had the most amazing Irish department. And it was so good for all the Fola Mori. It was so accessible to learn because sometimes it was it, it felt a wee bit daunting, you know, as people who weren't fluent and you were speaking with people who were, and you felt nervous about, you know, things that you were getting wrong. But as far Gaelic Briston and Barda Cliste, as everybody says, but to be the first in my family to be able to speak fluently I'm so proud, and I teach little couple of fuckle to my sisters and things at home. So it's just about speaking whatever you can.
You're no stranger to the stage. How does the stage that you're normally accustomed to, Evita Sweeney Todd versus Daniel O'Donnell and, you know, hundreds of people watching on?
Honestly, it's worlds apart, but the same, you know, the stage fright and things, you know, it's being used to the cameras being on you and used to speaking to people and, you know, having that sort of stage presence. It's kind of transferable skills. But yeah, I'm used to doing the musical theatre singing, but not so much singing from Mary from Dunlow. But I think I'm adapting all right.
I think you're going to be okay, as will the girl talk to Mary, Jamie May. Beautiful name, Jamie May. It's lovely. Jamie May Nigel Asberg, sponsored by BSG and Plan Al Changa. Why did you want to sort of get involved in this? What might you wish to come from it?
Well, since I was young, the Marys were kind of on my radar. Now, when I got older, I was kind of like a bit shy. This year then, I just said, I'm going to go ahead for it. And I was so, so proud then to be, you know, asked to be the Gaeltacht Mary. If I was going to represent anywhere, I'm from Donegal, I'm from Ulster, it could have been any of them, or Wildat Antigua, but no, Gaeltacht felt right, and my Timochrisi is Gaelic.
And the language, incredibly important to you, and you know, not just notionally, you do whatever you can to increase its usage, particularly amongst young people.
Yeah, massively. So I'm in the middle of my master's. I'm going on to be a teacher, but I'm actually doing my master's through the Irish language. So I'm doing the MGO in Galway University. And yeah, so I'm going to do my be an Irish teacher, and I love, you know, spreading the Irish language and do it as much as I can to get it out there, you know, to spread it to people like Cara, who was a Fulhamore and now she's a Leafa now, so it's nice to see that.
Yeah, but what's almost unique in what you're doing is that you're not just promoting it, but you're also trying to influence or fashion the environment to help promote it. So it's at least dual pronged.
Yeah, definitely. And it's cool to speak Irish. I'm always telling the kids that at school, like, it's cool. Like, it's a cool thing, especially then when I started working in television. That's kind of a niche job and it's a cool job, and because everything I've done so far has been in the Irish language, it is cool to put out there, yeah.
So theoretically we could have Cara getting ready on stage for a televised performance and you'd be in the background just making sure everything went great.
Corlor Changa, check.
And we'd both be speaking to each other in Irish at the same time.
We sure would.
Match made in heaven. Okay, listen, thank you both so much for calling in. That's the Edinburgh Mary, Cara Molloy, and also the Gaeltacht Mary, Jamie May, Nicola Asberg. Right, okay, let us see. We've got to talk also to the reigning Mary and the young Mary too. The reigning Mary is got a sweaty grip on the crown. She doesn't want to give it away. Rhianna Wasson is the Donegal Mary, sponsored by the Errigal Training Centre, Falkara. Good morning to you.
Good morning, Greg.
You're local, right? But at the same time, you know, I presume you're learning things all the time as well.
I am indeed. Yeah, this is my first Mary from Dunlow Festival. I've never been, so it's actually great.
That is crazy.
My first time at the festival.
Because there's people from all over the world that, you know, they've been and yet you're. But you know what? I think that's actually real, because often, and this is why we promote it, you know, this is the year other people should do what you're doing and go to the Mary from Dunlow Festival for the first time.
Yeah.
Okay. So you're from Convoy.
I am. I'm originally from Letterkenny. I've been living in Convoy now the past 9-10 years. So yeah, I love Convoy. It's a small village, but the people, the community out there, it's amazing. Yeah.
Hypothetically, if you overdid it on Saturday and you said, I can't do this, could you put your sister up? Would we know
well,
the difference? Could
I
you
was
go,
thinking
right,
that some
you're
days,
taking this one
I've been
for
feeling
us.
A bit tired. I might ask her to step in. Do you know what? They wouldn't notice the difference, because she was in the crowd there on the opening and people were just like, that's definitely your sister up there. We're very, very alike now.
You are studying. Oh, are you currently studying?
So I did the past year. I've been doing a health service skills course in the ETB and I've now got accepted into Ulster University for my nursing in Derry.
Fantastic.
So I'm very looking forward to that.
But you did live in Perth, right?
Yeah, I was in Australia for a year and a half.
Are you a home bird?
Do you know what? I couldn't wait to get to Australia, but now that I'm back, I always said, oh, I want to go back, but I just, there's no place like home. There honestly is not.
High rocks, it makes me tired even just reading the word. Explain to the listeners what it is.
Oh, it's basically a series of, like, you're running a kilometre and then you're doing eight like strength training. But I love it. It's amazing. Like the adrenaline rush you get from it. It's
no,
just
I'm
unreal.
Sorry. You haven't convinced me. I wouldn't be a spokesperson for it. I'm exhausted listening to it. As a local, have you felt a responsibility to sort of be a host as well?
Yes, definitely. Last year's Donegal Mary Alana O'Leary, she was the one who, you know, told me about it. And you know what? The things that she said about the festival, she said it was the best experience she's ever. So she was the one that actually inspired me to go for it, because I would be quite a shy person. This is very out of my comfort zone. But
do you feel already that you may be finding your comfort zone?
Oh, definitely. Yeah. The girls are just amazing. We all just click. Everybody gets on. So it's very, very good. And my sponsors, Ergo Training Centre, they have been amazing. Like, they're in Volcara and they're a big training centre. They train and they have loads of courses like to do with the wind farm, and they gave us a tour. And Noreen and Frankie, they're the owners. They're just amazing. They've been so, so good to me.
The Errigal Training Centre Volcara is sponsoring you, by the way. I think I've mentioned everyone else. Zeba Hairdressing. Is that right, Kiva? Kiva Birmingham.
Yes, that is me.
Dublin Mary, good morning to you. How are you getting on?
Thank you. Good. Great to be here. It's lovely good to stuff. Be in studio here today.
Yeah, fantastic stuff. And you already have a platform. You use a platform. You're passionate about societal issues, global issues. You've raised a ton of money for Palestine.
Yeah, I've been very lucky that I've had so much support around me. I had two concerts in my house called Gaff for Gaza, and we had six bands playing at them. And we raised over €10,000 for Palestine. And then I also have an events platform that I run called She Bean that hosts queer Kayleys, trad sessions, art workshops through Gaelge in English. And we held a big fundraiser in the Grand Social in town in Dublin and raised money for Palestine on that occasion.
Don't you? You're a radio host.
Yeah, where? I am. In Dublin City FM. So it's okay, very nice to be in a different studio here now today. Yeah.
And what do you do? Is it like a music show?
Yes, so I have my own music show called Pop Replay. So it's kind of like looking back at all the nostalgia of the early noughties and celebrating all that music. But then also I work on a show called Tilt, which I adore. And it's all about showcasing Irish music. So I do a weekly gig guide, look through the best Irish acts that are playing in Dublin that week and celebrate and showcase them. We've had Madra Salik in, who are fabulous, Loran. So many incredible artists that are happening and bubbling up in Dublin and across the country.
And you love Donegal as well too. So this was a match made in heaven, right?
I do. And I'm probably a little bit different to the girls as well, because I'm not from Donegal. I don't have any family from here, but I came to the Mary from Dunlow a few years ago with my friends. We have a housemate from Ranafast. And I absolutely fell in love with the festival.
So that you were in the car and someone said, should we go to Electric Picnic? And something? No, we'll go to the Mary
from
Dunlow
Festival.
No, we'll
go to the Mary from Dunlow. And we went up and I was just blown away. As soon as we went to Glenveagh Castle, I bought my first tin whistle there. And we actually went there yesterday. It was a big full circle moment. And as soon as I came back from the Mary from Dunlow after that trip, I came back a week later. I went to Idris Gael in Glencolmkill to practice my Gaeilge.
Well done.
And then I joined Ceoltis in Monkstown in Dublin to learn the tin whistle. So that's kind of the impact the festival has had on me. That's kind of awoken so much of my Irish culture and heritage within me. So, you know, the Mary Dunlow is pretty fantastic.
Yeah, indeed, Rihanna. And you're loving it so far.
Yeah, I'm loving
it. What's the highlight so far? Obvious question, but I've only asked it twice.
I think my highlight would be Country Sunday, because I'm a big country music girl. I love my jiving. So Country Sunday. And also yesterday we went to Errigal Petting Zoo. And I've
what
always,
is it with this petting zoo?
I've always wanted to go there. You know, I'm from Donegal. I've lived in Donegal all my life.
But by the sounds of things, other than going to Perth, you haven't left the house.
Fabulous driving. See her. She's always on the dance floor.
She's probably at home practicing. She's up in the pet zoo. All right, listen. Brilliant stuff. Are you going to drive on Sunday?
Yeah, I am.
Okay.
Yeah.
I have done it now. I will drive as well.
We've done the lessons in Orleans Bar. Brilliant.
Well done. Listen, enjoy. There's so much coming up. Obviously, there's Friday night. It's a lovely night as well, and Sunday night. The Donegal Mary, Rihanna Wasson, is she going to be crowned on Sunday? Or maybe it's going to be the Dublin Mary, Kiva Birmingham. We don't know. It could be any of them. It's all very exciting. We're speaking to the Mary's taking part in the Mary from Dunlow International Arts Festival, which is ongoing. It continues until Monday, August the 3rd. If you're looking for a day out or a night out, I strongly suggest you check out the website maryfromdunlow.ie and be a part of something very special. The Dunlow Mary, last but not least, is Shauna McDonough. Good morning to you.
Hello, how are we?
I'm good, how are you?
Good.
I was thinking there's a bit, I don't know if it's pressure or less pressure being the sort of host mayor? I know you're not the host mayor, but it kind of feels like that, right?
I think it's just an honour to be able to show all these women around Dunloe, our heritage, the culture around, and how good the people are around our town.
You follow in the footsteps of your mum, Carol.
My mum, yes. She was the Dublin Mary in 1989, and she came up and she met my father here as an escort. So it's just an honour.
That happens quite a lot, because he was actually your mum's escort. They got together, yep. And yet here we are. It's brilliant.
Here we are.
And you've lived in Dunloe your entire life. You are currently completing a course, or have completed a course, in agricultural science. So is that with a view to going into farming or working with farmers or what?
I'm actually hoping to head on now and do another 5 years in ATU studying veterinary medicine.
Okay, brilliant. That course has just really been launched recently,
just
right?
Just the first year going into it now, so hopefully all goes well. But I completed 4 years in UCD studying ag, and it's really boosted me into wanting to get into the industry of animals.
Right, okay. And big animals or little van animals, if
mixed,
you qualify as
mixed.
A vet?
I did placement and I got to see the both sides, and I think a wee bit of both will...
We need you on the farm.
Yeah.
We need you on the farm.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, so
especially in Dunloe.
And you love your community, you love your family, so it's... And you're going to be able to study locally as well, right?
So I'll be staying at home for the 5 years, still get to work in the Bridge and Bar Dunloe, travel in and out, and still get to have the crack.
Of course, all right. Yeah. And as sort of the local Mary, what have you been most proud of the girls seeing, if that makes sense?
So really, it's
if you say petting zoo, we're falling out, but go on.
The getting to know the locals around Dunloe.
The people.
Yeah. They've really embraced them. They've been all talking about how lovely the Marys are this year, how kind they are. And just getting to go around chatting to everyone. You're walking up and down the street, meeting people, stopping constantly, and you could be there for ages chatting.
Lovely stuff. Now, Cora McHugh is the Little Miss Mary 2025. Cora, hello.
Hi.
How's your year been?
It was really good.
Okay.
I went to New York for this.
No, you did not. Wow. So you got to do the parade and all?
Yep.
Fantastic. Who was lucky enough to get that trip with you?
Ellie and...
I have three boys. I don't have a girl. I couldn't get a trip to New York out of either of the three of those. What was it like the night that you were crowned?
It didn't feel real.
Mm. Like, how do you go back into school in September or late August to go, oh, hello, I'm now the Little Miss Mary?
All my friends were talking to me about it.
Brilliant. Exciting. So is the highlight so far been the trip to New York? Because that's a once in a lifetime for a lot of people.
Yep.
But also you have accompanied the current Mary as well at a few events as well. So you've enjoyed that too?
Yeah.
And what about getting rid of this, you having to hand over this crown? How does that make you feel in the sash?
Really sad.
Yeah?
Yeah.
But look at the memories. You have a full year of memories. And do you think, and it's happened in the past, where Little Miss Marys have gone on to compete and win the Mary from Dunloe, can you imagine yourself in 10 years' time going for the big one?
Yeah.
Very exciting. And Shauna, we talked to, and a lot of the other Marys, when they come here for the first time, they love the fact that young people come up to them and they're like celebs and they want the pictures. Were you that young person once? Were you the one pulling at the dress saying?
Big time. From a young age, I was going, the Super Value Fundays was the highlight always. Getting going to bouncy castles, meet all the Marys, and then, of course, McGurk's Fun Fair as well. Every day you were going down begging mum, can I go on more? And then to be working in the bar and see that end of it as well, it was great. Yeah. And now to be going to the events, everything, I've got to see every side of it now. Yeah,
brilliant. Well done. That's fantastic. Thanks so much, Shauna. Good luck with everything. And Cora, what are you looking forward to most now for this week? Is it Sunday or Friday or what? What is there something this week that you're really looking forward to above other things?
Just with all the Marys and stuff.
You're just loving the crack, aren't you? Hanging out with the girls.
Yep.
All right, brilliant. Making friends for life, no doubt. And you've been well looked after, I'm sure. That's Little Miss Mary 2025, Cora McHugh, and also the Dunloe Mary, Shauna McDonough, sponsored by The Cope in Dunloe, who are always good for that type of stuff, supporting local events, etc. Right, okay. We are joined now by the Mary from Delow 2025 winner, Ellie Ward. Over here, Ellie, you've been sitting, you've been in here so often, you should know at this stage. I don't want to sound patronising or whatever, because you were, you know, an amazing, confident young woman at the start of this whole process, okay? But I think anyone that knows you, you know, maybe your family know you better than anyone, but there's certainly, it's been a real year of growth for you.
Definitely, yeah. I can see a complete difference in myself from this year to last year.
Music and all the interviews and advocacy.
Exactly. Like last year, if Daniel had asked me on Country Sunday to stand up and sing Travelling Soldier, I would have gone so into myself.
Yeah.
But I took it in my stride on Sunday, and I'm very proud of myself for doing it and coming out as much as I have.
And has that been the highlight for you of this whole experience, maybe your personal growth? And it's not, you know, maybe if you said yes, people want, you might think it might sound selfish to say that, but I don't think it would be, you know. So has that been a big part of it? And outside of that too, what has been the highlight for you from the year?
Yeah, definitely. I think how much I've grown in confidence and how much like I've come out of myself has been a big plus of this year. But I think even if I didn't win it, that I would have gained so much confidence and so much pride in what I've done. But yeah, I think my highlight of the year has definitely been getting to know all the 15 girls, and one of them fabulous girls is going to take over my spot and do just as well as I have. So yeah.
And I'm sure there's lots of questions about what's this and what's that and what do you know what I mean?
Exactly, yeah. And like I'm more than happy to answer anything that they have to ask me, because I was in that position once.
Yeah.
And I know how daunting it is, and it's an amazing experience, but it is the most pressure you'll ever be under.
Bridget Boner is the Festival Mary Godmother for the Mary from Dunlow International Arts Festival. And Ellie, excellent in speaking about her own personal growth, but it can be difficult sometimes to speak about yourself. But I think Ellie really has made the role her own and has been a fantastic advocate for the festival.
Oh, she's been an amazing ambassador. I mean, she's travelled everywhere, New York and Philadelphia, which was great because she got to meet the Marys as well over there. And so she made friends before they even arrived over here. So they were familiar, so it helped them relax. But it's not even that, it was what her beliefs were. Like, you know, she highlighted Deborah Ireland and the mental health awareness. And, you know, it's great for the youth of today that, you know, here's a young lady, you know, advocating for it. And it is okay to have a bad hour,
but
a bad
I'd
day,
like
a bad week.
To hear young people speaking because the other young people hear them. There's
exactly.
No point in me saying it because they go, oh yeah, you'd say that. But yeah. Ellie can speak from the heart, and that lands. And it's not just this week. There's been so much happening, Bridget, over the last, you know, number of weeks with the girls that were available travelling all over the place. What's the significance of that, sort of beyond the experience for the women themselves?
Well, I think what we wanted as Mary coordinators, so there's myself, and then there's Anjay from all the way from Glasgow, past Mary. You've got Alana, past winning Mary, and then we've got Deirdre Wilson. So Deirdre looks after the financial aspect of it, and then we've got Kira Gallagher Murphy, who loves all the music and the crack, and she's up for
another
everything.
Past Mary.
Yeah, another past Mary. But when the whole lot of us got together last October, we thought, right, what do we want the Marys to gain? What can the festival gain from this? And let it be a fantastic time. So we did Falsha Ireland tours, pre-tours, so that if they were coming to Ireland prior to the festival or afterwards, let's showcase not just Dunlow,
yeah,
but let's showcase Donegal and a whole. We did 8 tours all around Donegal, and it was amazingly received. And the girls made memories. I mean, there was areas like Ardmore Island and Glencolum Kill, you know, and they're 59 years too. They're celebrating the big 60th, so we'll be looking forward to celebrating them
it's
with them next year.
It's soft marketing too. It's really very effective and a great way of doing it. And
yes.
Ellie, obviously there's the big night Friday night. Everyone's going to be dressed up to the nines. Yeah. And then Sunday. Will it be an emotional poll handing over, or is the time right now for the sash and the crown to go to the next Mary?
Well, I have had the best year of my life, but being in the Lochmina Lodge and Claire and Richie, the people who own it, and Kevin as well, Claire's brother, having the place to get to know them girls and like just sit up at night or get ready with them in the morning, and just have that time to get to know them and know that every single one of them deserves this,
I will have no problem giving it to
Brilliant.
Any one of them.
Well, listen, you've done yourself, your family and the festival and the county proud in representing all of that across the globe. Ellie Ward, for a while anyway, the Mary from Dunlow till Sunday anyway, Bridgeen Boner, Festival Mary Godmother Coordinator from the Mary from Dunlow International Arts Festival. Check out Mary from Dunlow, the website and socials for something to do every day, every night for the family and for couples and for individuals. We're broadcasting live from Sweeney's Hotel on Friday morning. Mm-hmm. And we're going to be back in studio with you here tomorrow morning at 9. Have a great day, everyone.